UNISA Radio, the African voice. It's all about you.
It's 14 minutes after one on UNISA Radio, the African voice, where it's all about you. Now we're speaking to Adri Lowe about life skills for coping and resilience in adverse situations. I guess this also is something that we always find as students, we find ourselves in. You know, there's always that situation that we can't deal with. So good afternoon, Audrey. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Can you speak into the mic, please?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm great. So now, life skills for coping and resilience in adverse situations. Can you just explain, what are adverse situations?
That's difficult situations that students normally can't cope with. It could be anything. Life stresses, challenges that draw upon your emotional reserves that have been built, that you have built over during the tough times.
Now, can we really judge which one is a bad situation? I mean, from person to person, it must differ. You might find that somebody, an adverse situation is their hair. And I might say, but hair, you know? But to some people, maybe. So can we judge which situation is adverse and which one is just a light situation that you can just get over?
The indicating factor is normally if that student can't cope and the student expresses stressful, they are going through stress situations. I'm not talking about the hair or, you know, I'm not fitting in with my peers and so on. It's really sitting there alone, not being able to cope, you know, with the studies, not being able to cope with family problems or relationships and so on.
So how do we equip ourselves? What kind of life skills do we need to cope for such situations?
There are a lot of things that play a role, but one of the main things is having self-confidence and a positive self-image, developing communication skills and the capacity to manage strong feelings and impulses. And of course, the way that you were brought up, the way that your role models, your parents, how they handled similar situations also play a role. But it's also a skill that it can be an individual trait, and it can be learned behavior as well. But actually, it's a process that is a result of individuals interacting with the environments and the processes that promote their well-being. So the lessons that were taught in families, in schools, spiritual communities, all help with building a person's coping skills.
Because I would imagine a UNISA student who is straight out of high school and comes into this ODL situation, now he or she cannot cope with the stresses of having to study alone. So do they need to also go and talk to someone about it? Because it must be very stressful to go from somewhere where every day they used to teach you. Now all of a sudden you're by yourself, you're overwhelmed by this university language and things that go on in universities.
Yes. I'm taking actually a new stance with regard to this. I believe that each and every person has got they've got specific capacities, their own strengths, their own resources. And as counselors, we don't want to disempower students, because what we want to do is tap into their own capacities, into their own family's wisdom. And that is something that is in each one of us. So we call this a more asset-based approach. So it's actually assets that I define from the inside out. So individuals have assets that can be intrinsically tapped to generate solutions and challenges. So students might perceive that they must call in an expert or a counselor to fix weaknesses, or, you know, they are, but it's actually a cycle of dependence and disempowerment. And I think it inhibits participation in problem solving and the decision making process. So as professionals, we should listen to the views and concerns of students as they express it in their context. So we don't provide ready-made solutions, but we provide the kind of leadership and guidance that supports the process of change.
Oh.
Now, a student's potential should not be overlooked.
Mm.
So they have specific capabilities, talent, experience, skills, and so on.
Now, like when we are in adverse situations, I mean, I can imagine if a parent passes away or a close friend passes away, you might feel that, you know, it's the end of the world. To some people, they might feel that after this, I cannot go on, you know. What would your advice be to that sort of a person? To just how, because you see, when we study, if I'm a UNISA student right now, the semester does not stop for me to heal. It carries on. Even if I'm in an adverse situation, life does carry on around us. Now, to pick up yourself in that moment, how do you do it? Do you just say, okay, let me just get over it and not deal with it? Or what do you do?
No, we encourage students. Research has also shown that they're more inclined to talk to their peer helpers.
Mm.
So at the Directorate for Counseling, Career and Academic Development, we've got peer helpers.
Mm.
So they would talk with a peer helper, so they would seek advice. So that's one of the main processes of a problem solving, is recognizing I've got a problem which I can't cope with. Let me go and speak with a peer helper. If it's a complex situation, like something that relationship issues or there's abuse, or as you said, you can't cope with your studies, then that peer helper will refer to a senior student counselor, which then will have an interview with the student. We will explore together. So it's a co-creation of and looking at the student's problem, and also giving the student a voice to speak on his or her behalf, because the student is actually the expert of his or her own life. So for somebody to jump in and give advice, that's a no-no for us. So the student doesn't sit there, doesn't have any role or anything.
Yeah, and then they
must also be active in the whole process. But our doors are open. The career counseling services are free of charge, and they're welcome to first come and speak to a peer helper, and then they will refer, if they can't handle, to one of the senior counselors or psychologists or educational or clinical psychologists.
Okay, we're running out of time, but in the beginning you were saying that the most important thing is to have self-confidence when you're in an adverse situation. Is there anything else that you need?
There are actually three building blocks that you can do to build resilience. You can, you say, I can make a difference. I can talk to others about things that frighten or bother me. I can find someone to help me when I need it. I can find ways to solve problems. And then the second block is, I am a worthwhile person. I am loved and lovable. I am happy to do things for others. I have respect of others and myself. I am willing to be responsible for what I do. So you see clearly the role of the students.
Mm.
And then also I have then the doing. People around who I trust and who love and support me. They show me how to do things right, want me to learn to do things on my own, help me when I'm sick or in trouble, and so on. Students also need to feel they can be counted upon, people they can look up to, they can learn to assist, can employ humor in the situation. And something else that they can also do is they are the experts of their own life.
Okay, before you go, you said the three building blocks of resilience is I can, I have, and?
I can, I am, I have.
Well, those are the three blocks of resilience. Okay, Adri, we've run out of time, but thank you very much for coming through. Are you coming back next week?
I think someone else from our section or directorate.
Will be coming through.
Will be coming through, yeah. And I just want to extend an invitation to students. If you experience anything or any problems or any adverse situations that you can't cope with, please come and consult with any of the counselors or the peer helpers. Thank you very much.
All right, Audrey, you've been such great help. Have a nice day. It's 24 minutes after 1.
Interact with us on Twitter @UNISA Radio.